Welcome to episode. Can you fucking stop doing what you're doing? Welcome to episode 7 of the latest season of The Cry of Ton. My name is Maiwa. I've got a bit of here. But today, we're going to talk about AC Milan's best player being a semi-pensioner, Merseyside being grey, and just, you know, that famous Fergie quote. It's Tottenham. I'm not ages.
Then what the fuck? How the fuck is 39 or
something? I'm not ages. Okay, but I guess we'll start in the grand European city of Milan,
mm-hmm.
where this week we had the
Milan game. Derby. Smashing first half, actually. Second half, shit.
The Milan Derby, mm-hmm. where the boy, the man, the legend, the idiot, the self-mythologist.
Zlatan.
Did what he does.
Coming back from coronavirus.
Oh, Zlatan had coronavirus.
Did we not have that?
Oh, yeah, he's an idiot. Yeah, I hate that guy. But yeah, AC Milan, led by Zlatan at his, like, finest.
Yeah, man, it shows you how to play when you're 39, man. Just keep yourself fit. Run, just, you know, short sprints of 15 meters, nothing more. If the ball isn't around your 5 meter, 10 meter radius, don't go for it.
Watching Zlatan is very, I mean, I kind of said this to you earlier on, but it kind of, like, it reminds me of Giroud. Like, someone who is just ball, like, comes limited in their movement, but they still have, is that thing, like, they still have the technique, and they still have, like, obviously they're like physical specimens, so those guys will jump, like, they don't have to jump high for them to, you know, head the ball behind the defender or flick it on for someone. Like, I even actually now watch, like, a montage someone did of Zlatan's, like, performance, and it's just like, yo, this nigga is, like, kicking the years back, and it's beautiful to
be
watch.
Fair, one thing you can say about Zlatan is that even in his first spell in Milan, he kind of still played like this, just that one, he had, like, a little bit more burst of pace if he needed to take that on, but now, obviously, he doesn't have it. But it still shows you the way he guides the ball, the way he carries the team, the aura. But yeah, if you're looking at the game, AC Milan's 4-2-3-1.
Can I just say something? Yeah. I like how this guy is pretending to be, like, passive, like he's not a Milan fan. No, like,
no, but see, but actually, the reason why I'm being like this is because of, if you support a fallen giant, you know, like, you kind of become, like, numb to anything that happens, even though I'm happy that they're winning, like, bro, we're still going to probably struggle to make top four. We'll probably make top four, but it won't be like, oh, we're going to win all our games. We'll probably beat on big teams, though, because they're crap, to be fair, but, like, at this point anyway. But just looking at the 4-2-3-1 that we played, obviously, I've had the conversation before, like, with several guys that watch Serie A, we arguably have probably this, like, second strongest lineup in the league, or strongest, like, when just the 11 anyway.
Yeah, like, I don't think the first 11.
Yeah, there's really, then you can kind of drag me under 11. But generally, Inter 12 is a strong team. But yeah, I mean, Inter haven't really played any good game this season. Even the Florence win was kind of a struggle. But Benevento weren't as clear as they should have been. Inter actually have a problem, and Conte is a problem because of Conte fought the board
in
for
the summer,
signings.
Yeah.
And when you were seeing the signings, you're like, okay, these signings don't make sense. They're selling Godin, they're bringing in Collaro to play left centre back. So basically, essentially, they're playing with one centre back in the system because D'Ambrosio and Collaro are actually right and left backs.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously, they're pushing back because they're doing that thing where it's four when they're defending, kind of five when they're attacking. Yeah. You saw that every time you watched the game, I don't know if it was the first half, you saw that every time Milan got the ball, every time Milan beat that, they had lackluster press.
Yeah.
It was just a few days. If we were more technical, we could have held them a lot more. And if Zlatan was probably if Zlatan was to stretch the pitch. but that's not anything on Zlatan. The first half was amazing. That best had been a long time. And yeah, man, Milan's looking strong. We have a fantastic coach. I always thought he was a good coach from his days in Florence. But
I think what I like most about Milan is just how, you know, like, last year it was kind of a foregone conclusion that Ralf Rangnick was going to come and take over.
Yeah, and I like the way they stayed loyal to this guy.
Yeah, and then
because
obviously
he's actually been unlucky a lot. There's an Italian phrase for him. They call him, like, something like the caretaker or the fixer.
I mean,
because since he left, what club was he really good at? Fuck, I can't forget. Was it Fiorentina? Since he left Florence.
I'm not sure it was Florence. I mean, you're the Italian guy, but I feel like I've heard it was somewhere else.
But like, he was good at Florentina. And then since he left there, he's just been like a fixer.
Yeah.
Just come here, you know, sort you out for a couple of weeks, for a couple of months at the end of the season. They hire a new manager. But to fair, he's always been in.
Sounds like the Italian Sam Allardyce.
No, but he's like more. Like,
obviously, more. The football is better. Yeah. With the. Aladici with the continental twist.
Okay, is that the real Aladici at this point? Because someone else was like, if my name was Aladici, you guys would respect me.
So yeah, Aladici with the continental twist.
But yeah, I mean, it's amazing because I didn't want Kraft Radnick. I told you, we had this conversation. Was it on Kraft or maybe off?
Yeah, I think
off,
it was you and I.
And I was saying like, bro, like, I don't like when guys, see, I don't mind when Pep comes to the head, but Pep is Pep. Do you get what I mean? Like, just some guy that just wants, like trying to be stupid, comes in, I don't sign guys under 25, you know, that whole, he was going to bounce the ladder.
No, but I think the operation, because I think, you know.
And it was Gazidis that brought that shit to my club. And I'm happy the way they nullified Gazidis, because Boban had to, you know Boban had to, like, kind of speak out again. And Maldini was going to leave, but I think they kind of begged him to stay. And to be fair, Maldini's business transfer window has been, so far, it's been amazing, actually. He's not spending too much money, but he's actually getting the right players.
But I think, to be honest, what Rangnick was going to bring was what I think Milan needed in terms of...
new blood?
Not new blood. I think more intelligence. So, like, more... But Rangnick, like, is... I mean, I always have this...
Rangnick doesn't always blow, though.
It's not that it doesn't like, always like blow, monkey, but bro, like bro, monkey, bro like. But bro, like, Rangnick has, like, in terms of a clear track record, you can look at the guys, like, if it's, like...
Schalke...
No, I'm even talking, like, with Red Bull, like, just the whole operation. No,
he's been amazing in the Red Bull.
Because at Red Bull, he wasn't, like, he's not been the manager, he's been more like a sporting director.
No, but he was going to be the manager in Milan.
Yes, I understand that, but my point is,
the idea was that
he was basically overhauling Milan to kind of make them that type of operation in terms of, okay, we're going to go and sign the next Naby Keita, we're going to sign the next, that's where football is at now. Like, you bro, see.
Milan can survive in Milan. It's okay.
Yes, but it's still about, at the end of the day, for any club that is not in the Champions League positions, what you need, and Liverpool are the kind of the guys that best exemplified in terms of cashing in on one player and using it to reset the whole operation. The idea is, okay, we want to be smarter. We want to get in, like, obviously younger players with high ceilings, get them good, sell them for 80-90 million and turn them around. Yes,
but Milan is already doing that. Milan, see, if you look at Milan signings under the what's his name,
Maldini,
no, the old director of football,
Galliani.
No, Galliani, there was this bald guy after him, Fascone or something like that. Basically, anyway, they actually did that but they signed guys already star quality. So they signed Andrea Conti from Atalanta, they signed Romagnoli, they signed Caldera, they signed Theo Hernandez, they signed Paqueta. Those are actually star players that actually have more than kind of players Rangnick signs. Rangnick signs more or less like system guys, like Adebola Lookmore. Like, those guys are good, do you know what I mean? But like, they're not Paqueta, they're not Romagnoli, do you know what I mean? Like basically, he was going to take a lot out of the identity of Milan in the sense of, like, he was going to bring those German type, like Mane.
But bro, what is the identity of Milan right now?
But like, they're bringing it back. They didn't go Milan.
That's actually what I wanted to say, because it's kind of like,
why Maldini and Boban are very important. I know me and you are against bringing ex players to run the club, but there has to be some.
Not that it. But like, if they've done the work.
Do you know what I mean? That's like, I would rather have Maldini run Milan signings than Ralf Rangnick run Milan signings and those go against. Like, that guy wasn't even going to consider Ibrahimovic after scoring 11 goals in half a season. Like, so clearly your ideology is getting in the way of critical thinking. I don't know if you understand what I mean.
This guy sounds like a Trump supporter.
No, I don't know if you understand what I mean.
No, I get what you mean. Anyway,
like,
let's move on. I think, obviously, the first game this weekend in the Premier League was
amazing.
A Merseyside derby.
Amazing. I mean, apart from that Pickford tackle, amazing game.
Yeah, it was a Merseyside derby.
Probably the best game I've seen with no fans. Like, balance-wise, not like just bowling.
Fair enough. Bro, like, one of the things, like, I noticed this weekend, man, commentators are in their bag. Oh, like, okay. Bro.
The Liverpool and Tottenham love is...
No, but not even just the love. Like, how poetic these guys are with it.
Oh, Peter like, Drury.
Yeah, like, what is, like, talking about, you know, like, the champions
yeah,
of
but
the...
Yeah, Peter Drury is a bastard now. Like, like bro, like, see, do you know why he doesn't worship me? Because he does it for every fucking match. And I'm like... Does he write it or do they write it for him? Peter Drury especially. Every single that guy will make Sheffield United like fucking Aston Villa sound like
no, bro, black
country. Yeah, you know, he always has like.
Something. I can't lie to you. I didn't watch the Liverpool Everton game. I was on the road. I was up on that. Don't worry.
Guy, why are you not messaging me about it? You sent me message.
Not Liverpool and Everton. It was. I was messaging about Spurs.
When I was playing football.
Yeah, but I mean, obviously, both sides are kind of in this new dimension of football.
Shout out Don Carlo, though.
Yeah. Both sides are kind of like right now at the upper hierarchy. So obviously, Liverpool are defending champions. Everton are
upcoming.
They haven't won in 10 years.
10 years, man.
Yeah, I remember. I was reading that, and like
it doesn't feel like it, yeah.
But it feels like a long time. So David Moyes was the last person who won one.
Yeah, but even not even like Moyes was still there when they started putting there.
Yeah,
which is
yeah,
funny
because yeah.
Moyes was like, you know,
Moyes used to run those guys close now. Like, but it's funny because I think I remember that like Moyes was that guy who could brush like he could go and brush like a Man U or like a Chelsea or like an Arsenal. But then
Moyes he will always not to later actually.
He actually didn't use a bit of he used a bit of something. But like it was United that he would tension. Which is why they went and gave him the job. My guy now came with Fellaini.
There's nothing bad with Fellaini, but that's a situation anyway.
But not in the summer where United are getting linked to Thiago, you're getting linked to Fabregas, and you end up with Fellaini.
And then here as well.
Like, yeah, that's just weird. But what did you think? What did you make of the game?
I thought it was an amazing game. I thought first half Liverpool were clearly better than Everton, but obviously Everton got the break with the header. The set piece got them back into the game, but second half Everton were more. So Everton paid Liverpool a lot of respect in that game, and kind of.
I noticed. I mean, not to even talk about City and Arsenal, but it's kind of the same thing. But like, I feel like sometimes like when these guys kind of defeat themselves mentally.
It was clearly a mental block in the first half because you felt that you look at the midfields and you're like, okay, the Liverpool's weakest point of which. That you don't need it anyway. Like technically, at this the way they play, is their midfield. So you felt like Everton could have kind of like kept the ball on the floor, you know, just held possession and made it a midfield game. But Liverpool actually kind of played really well in the first game. And they were attacking down the left side. They were asking a lot of questions of Everton. Liverpool didn't have any really quite cut chances other than the goal. I mean, there was one other chance. Is it Mane that had it? Well, I can't remember. Salah. It was Mane, I think, that puts it over the bar. You know, sideways. But then after that, in the second half, Everton came out and it was a more even game. And at some point, Everton could have nicked it. Obviously, Liverpool did kind of nick it towards the end, but kind of... You just knew that decision was going to be offside because you saw Mane coming back and you saw the blind pass and you're like, oh God, VAR shouldn't do this nonsense. Yeah, but VAR cancelled
it. I love, like, watching it, obviously, knowing that I knew that, like, knowing that it didn't... Knowing that the call went against Liverpool, yeah. I felt like it was funny watching
so
it.
One thing to be worried about is the fact that maybe when Liverpool were on top Everton in the first half, they didn't assert their dominance. But then one other encouraging thing for Everton and for the neutral was the fact that Everton kind of came back into the game, even though their midfield in particular played very well, because Ole Gomez had one of the worst games he has had in a long time because he's a fantastic player. They had to bring on Gylfi Sigurdsson for him. There was this pass that they were trying that he kept on missing out from when he was like inside left deep and was trying to play to the left back and kept on overhitting it. I think he overhit it like 4 times. But yeah, Everton didn't play well in the first half, but they grew stronger in the second half, kind of came into the game. Then obviously the game was marred by those two tackles. I mean, Richarlison won standard late tackle, missed the ball. I guess his kind of engagement on Twitter didn't help.
What did he say on Twitter?
It was just like, yeah, he's out of character and stuff like that. And guys were like, bro, you be doing this though, kind of thing. Like, do you get what I mean?
That's why they don't like forward tackling.
And then and then my guy was replying, do you get what I mean? Obviously, but then the Pickford one was just, man, like, So I don't like Pickford. I know I like Pickford, but like it's not like I don't like him as a player. I don't just like him. Like since he was in Sunderland, like you get. But then, man, like there was no need. There was no need for that tackle. And obviously, FA have come out now and said that there's not going to be any respective action.
Quick one. Obviously, Van Dijk has done his ACL.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, love to him and his family. Hopefully, he gets through this.
I mean, shout out Van Dijk, fantastic.
What impact do you think that has on Liverpool?
Oh, I mean, I think like Liverpool have handled a lot of injuries over the past like 3 years. Even though they have always been kind of short-term-ish or medium-term injuries, they've not had like a serious long-term injury.
Ox was injured, but it wasn't a starting. Yeah, but I don't think
any of those 11 guys that you or 13 guys that they usually kind of play. I don't think they've this past like 18 months, they've not two seasons, they've not had any. I think longest money of Salah has been out for a month or something. Maybe Firmino, but
yeah, those guys. I mean, I was going to say because I don't like. Between them, so their best players. So I mean, of all their players, the person who's actually injured the most is this guy, the guy in the goal.
Alisson.
It's
actually Henderson. Henderson misses quite a bit.
I think it's Alisson. I feel like Alisson is the one that
because you've seen that other guy a lot.
Yeah. And it happened last season.
Yeah, too. Yeah. This start. Said the first couple.
But like. I mean, of their best players, so you say Alisson, you say Van Dijk.
No, just the 11. Say, because Liverpool has
not even the 11. Like, I'm just even going to say, like, so between Alisson, Van Dijk, the wing backs, I guess, and those three guys in front.
Six guys in the
team. No, but bro, those guys actually don't get injured. Like, they actually don't.
So, I mean, so last season when Laporte got injured, you knew Man City were in trouble. But I guess Liverpool are more stable than Man City are. But then, let's not forget the impact that Van Dijk had on Liverpool generally by just turning up.
I'm actually, like, to be honest, I'm actually fucking worried for them because...
Yeah, Gomez not a good
form. Because I don't think, like, I think this season, their defense has seemed a bit shaky.
Mm-hmm, even with Van Dijk.
And...
But I guess that's the whole league.
Not really, actually. Arsenal and Aston Villa have been good defensively.
Yeah, but your guy's playing like...
But we'll get to that. Like, we'll get to that. Your guy's
really shooting his defense. Do you get it?
Yeah. So, like, looking at that now, you kind of look, okay, well, that's the whole season. And I don't think they're going to go out and buy...
Do you think they're playing mind games? Do you think he's...
No, he's done. I don't think there are any man.
The guys be coming out for ACL these days in 4 months. So,
it's hard to come back from it in 4 months.
Like, footballers be shocking you these days. Like, you get.
If he's going to come back for anything.
Zaniolo injured for? Yes.
Who?
Zaniolo.
Who?
Zaniolo. Nicola Zaniolo.
Oh. I mean, it's you Italian guys that always have come back from ACLs within four months.
Placenta and all that shit.
No. The thing, because, like, I mean, even when you come back from an ACL, more often than not, you will, like, the players will have, like, bad form or, like you think of someone like
Bellamy. Yeah, but he's a center back, though. He doesn't rely on pace and awkward movements like that. So, you know, Van Dijk plays.
I think he relies on pace, though.
Van Dijk? You know, pace is an attribute, but I don't think, like, Van Dijk is not.
He's not Kyle Walker.
Yeah, he's not. but Kyle Walker showed good defending sense this weekend without actually using pace, though, right?
I get your point.
Why do people sub Kawaka anyhow? What did Kawaka ever done? Like, but anyway, that's another
thing. He was licking a dog out. Or he and his babe had some. There was a video of that, like, them fitting out the dog.
He's a dog fiddler. Fair enough.
And also, he didn't respect social distancing rules, so niggas hit him.
Yeah, I mean, that's Grealish, that's Tammy Abraham, that's.
Yeah, but he's old, so he should. Those guys are young. And those guys are rock stars. Anyway, like, bro, like, Grealish, like, is that the worst? If you open Grealish's file, like, you know what you'll find there now.
Fair enough. So Kawaka is not a rock star, that's why we don't like him. Okay, fair enough. But yeah, Liverpool's defense. Matip is generally always solid, actually.
Yeah, I think he's very unremarkable, but he's very solid. He's one of those.
That's why you want to send that.
Yeah. You don't want guys that are getting attention. Like, just keep it. like, do what you need to do.
There's Joe Gomez as well, which at this point is not having a good time, but strong defender. But then after that is the backup options to those guys. I think they have some guy called Nico Williams or something.
Yeah, Nico Williams.
And they have another guy.
To be honest, okay, the other factor that I think the Van Dijk thing plays into is...
it's actually the games coming fast.
No, the game's coming fast, but I also think...
the fear factor.
Yes, that's what I was about to say. I think
the fear factor
is definitely, like, I don't think...
And then with them conceding seven...
Bro, think about...
Even
about,
with Van Dijk,
think about...
Fear factor is gone.
Think about when they play Fulham. Eh? Like, and I mean, this is... do you think if Mitrovic...
If Mitrovic was squaring up
to Van Dijk...
Yeah.
The way Mitrovic's energy,
but to be fair, he shouldn't try with Matip,
bro.
On the physical game, Matip,
bro. Any of those guys, Mitrovic is taking them on a good day, bro. Even Van Dijk on a good day, Mitrovic can, you know, he might get some love, but I mean, that one you will still, you know, is not.
No. I mean, they definitely lose a lot of cover because obviously those two defenders that we called are not. Like, they kind of always injured. At least, like, they missed a couple games.
Yeah, Gomez is actually quite
even
injured.
The other guy, Matip, as well. And then there's also Fabinho, which can drop back, kind of saves them.
Yeah, Fabinho is played very well. Position,
I mean, Fabinho plays, then that means he opens up another kind of thing where we are going to be seeing Gigi and Thiago on the same team. So there's another runner of Thiago, right? And two people sitting off him.
Yeah.
So that's.
It opens up another.
Yeah, he opens up another thing, but then you can never underestimate. I mean, just. Normally, look at it, it's just like looking at... because, I mean, when we're younger, kind of Vidic Ferdinand's getting injured, like, one probably every season, and then, what's his name, that guy that in Leicester now, always Brown play, and they kind of...
with
like,
John Evans?
Yeah, like, Fergie was alright, do you know what I mean? But I guess it's the Laporte thing that is not bringing this thing into question, just the fact how Man City have collapsed in the absence of Laporte.
But also, I think some teams, I think it's a thing that kind of... I think the other thing you kind of have to remember or contextualize is, you and I talk about this thing where, like, defenders can defend these days.
Yeah.
A lot of them cannot defend.
No, but a lot of guys can actually defend. Matip, Gomez, Van Dijk, good
like,
defender.
But, like, yeah, so a lot of it is because defenders can't... so the ones that can actually defend, the ones that are actually good, they're dime a dozen.
Yeah.
So, it's not just that they're good with the ball. They can actually fucking defend. Yeah. Like, I look at someone like Gabriel at Arsenal.
He's a good defender.
I've been impressed because... He's good with the ball,
yeah.
But he can also defend.
He's
a complete defender. So it's like, yo, these days, like, those guys are very, they're very, when people are signing defenders, not because they can defend, but because you're good with your left foot.
Nah.
It's like, oh, we open up another passing lane. Bro, football in 2020 is wild, man.
I mean,
anyway, so one of the funniest things I saw this weekend, it's not funny because, to be honest, I'm a very big beneficiary. So when I was doing my fantasy team on Saturday, the clever thing I did was I took Aubameyang, as troops called him, and I put in Harry Kane. I had Son before.
So how did I do it? Aubameyang.
I bounced Jimenez.
No, Raul's gonna have a few days against Bielsa today, bro.
My strikers were Ings, Jimenez, and Calvert-Lewin.
Okay.
And I can't lie, this season Jimenez has been the most unreliable.
But that's what today.
So just based on, like, I think Calvert-Lewin can probably win Golden Boot this year. So, and I got him from the beginning, so very good, happy with that. Ings, I just knew Ings, like, I was like, oh, they're playing Chelsea, he'll score. Like, like, they'll probably lose, but he'll score. And I mean, I was lucky, and I had Son in my team too. So I was like, yo, because Kane and Son, they're talking about them as the new Cole and York or whatever. Where it's like, you know, these guys have a very good partnership. And they did combine, like, they assisted each other, they both scored. And I mean, I captained Kane, so Hurricane scored two. So I got the 2 points of Hurricane. Like, after captaining him. And obviously Aubameyang didn't do shit. So I was very happy. And I took in my boy, the Scottish goat.
Megan.
Oh Lord. And he came through with a clean sheet and an assist, you know. But so obviously Spurs, West Ham have had a very up and down season. West Ham have had a very up and down last couple of months. I think people are thinking more of their owners for what they are. It's just
sponsors.
Yes, and just not investing in the club the way they should have, or just being very funny. But I think Moyes has done a good job in terms of just stabilizing the ship, because yeah, there was a point last year where
technically Moyes always do.
Was that guy a manager?
Didn't he like he kept them up like Bigfoot and all that shit? No?
If I remember correctly, yes. So yeah, like Spurs West Ham is kind of, I mean, obviously there's a bit of angst between both clubs from the stadium and all that. But yeah, the point I was trying to make is, I just knew like, yo, those Spurs guys, you want those two. Because there's that Mourinho thing they have going on where, you know, Mourinho might build a team that's not, that might be defensive or whatever, but he always has this elite like forwards who that basically is just,
oh, he's loving it.
He's not, he doesn't build, Mourinho doesn't build attacking patterns. His own is just, yo, these guys, let them do what they had to do. So the way Hazard would do, or the way Ozil and Ronaldo used to do back in the day, the way Hazard would do at Chelsea.
Even his Real attacking pattern was sick though.
Bro. No, to be honest, yeah, that one, I broke those guys on the counter is God, one of, yeah. I think that was the best thing I've seen since the Invincibles. Like, those guys on the counter were ruthless. Like, bro! Yeah. And then, obviously, I think I was watching the game and like, maybe I didn't start. And I said, I just put on my phone. Because I was watching it on Showmax. God, it's fucking, what am I plugging there? What am I fucking plugging there when they're not paying me?
Fair enough.
But yeah, so I was watching it on this app. And I mean, maybe first 15 minutes, 3-0. And I'm just like, the fuck? And obviously, I'm watching the game. I mean, you could tell the commentators really just wanted Gary Bill to come on and score. Like, they were, like, jerking off like that to happen so bad. Like, bro, when Gareth Bale came, the first thing he did was take a free kick. And like, bro, go and listen to the way these guys are talking about the free kick. He's not gonna do it, is he?
Nah, man, guys, that is low.
And then the last,
what number is it?
Eh?
What number is it?
9.
Ew.
Yeah, ew. But I mean, he came late, so yeah. And yeah, so you watch the game. West Ham score in the 83rd or 84th minute. Bro, just to show you how unlikely this thing was, you know that pee that guys do when they're trying to do gra-gra, where they're going to like carry the ball
they from didn't
the
post. Do it.
They didn't do it. Like, they just, it's like, oh, we got a free kick, we scored a header, cool, no pee. Game continues. Then, bro, the second goal comes, and you're just like, wait. Wait. It's not gonna happen, is it? Because like, yo, it'll be fucking hilarious. Because at halftime, there were journalists on Twitter talking about Spurs as like title contenders. Sure. It's like, yo, like, I know I said Mourinho, like, guys were copying, please, though. They were like, oh, yo, I know I said Mourinho is dead and washed, but like, yo, bro, Tottenham might be competing for the title. And
you see why Twitter is such a funny, like,
bro. And then. That so first of all, so when it became 3-2, Gareth Bale had a 1-on-1 that he missed.
Yeah, like, and I mean, had a solo run as well.
Yeah, yeah, he had a chance that he missed, and it's just like, and he's just like, oh fuck, this isn't gonna happen. And then the corner comes, and it comes out,
Manu,
and is that, you know, that Paul Scholes volley type thing where it's just like, wait, okay, this guy blocked him. Is he gonna be able to take this shot? And this guy takes the shot. And bro, it is so beautiful to watch because, like, it's that thing of, yo, the technique with which,
you know, technically, that's one of the best players in the league.
Yeah, I agree. I just rate him. I just injuries. Yeah, yeah, bro. Like, I love Lanzini. So, that thing of, you know, he hits it with great technique. It goes, then the keeper gets a little hand, but he can't really get it. He hits the bar and enters, and he's just like, yo, this is porn. Like, and obviously everywhere just shuts down because you knew, like, when West Ham got the first goal, Mourinho was pissed. Like, the commentators were remarking about how pissed he was because that's his clean sheet gone. And just imagine, so that they even 3-1, he was pissed. That ended up at 3-3. Yo, shut this fucking game down.
So what do you think is the problem with Tottenham? You think they have a sub center? I mean, it's funny to say Tottenham have a sub-centre when they already not have a sub-centre. But then, like, Mourinho has spent money to address that, no? But
I think, to be honest, I don't even want, because I don't want to say it's not like...
You think it's an anomaly? No, it's not
an anomaly. No, it's not an anomaly. What I was going to compare it to was, it reminds me of Arsenal with, like, when Arsenal did not have game intelligence. So when Arsenal could...
But Tottenham have been dropping leads.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. Like, it reminds me of Arsenal when Arsenal don't have game intelligence, where you concede a goal. Like, think of over like a 5 year span or whatever, how many years, the way all Arsenal Man U or all Arsenal Chelsea games will go.
Yeah, but Arsenal was a lack of leadership.
Where
Tottenham have leaders in their team.
I don't know.
Hoiberg is like a senior player for them. Hoiberg.
I don't know, like,
they
to be honest.
Kane, they have Son. These are guys that are like captains of their
national team. To me, honestly, I don't think that is I know when people say that.
Lloris,
I don't.
Doherty,
bro, like are... it's still like, so because with Arsenal, what would happen was Arsenal would come into those games, they would play better.
Yeah.
Then they'll concede one goal.
Yeah.
And then,
because of football, it's like a long term
thing. Yeah. And then instead of you know, like that thing, like where it's like, you know what? Okay, we've considered a goal. Let's use the next 15 minutes. To kind of just rally, like, let's just stabilize this game, mm-hmm. not lose our heads. And what will happen was, guys will lose their heads, they'll concede another goal. And then, so you concede two, you're 2-0 down, and you're like, yo, we need to come back. And then your defenders start trying to go up front as like their strikers. So, with Spurs, I think what it is like, no offense, I think it's like, is the in-game management, is like the game intelligence.
Is what I'm saying, but they have players that...
Bro, every team, always, like, it always happens like that, where you have players that, it's like, you, these niggas are smarter than they are. Like, or they should be smarter than
this. That's essentially the reason why they ball, but, like, do you get what I mean? Like,
yeah, but I used to think of that thing, because when Arsenal would be doing, like, bro, I'm saying this as an Arsenal fan, but some of the dumbest Arsenal players were guys who were captains or who were basically on paper leaders.
Oh, Gala.
No, Thomas Vermaelen. Like,
Vermaelen, like, was a mistake, though.
Bro. Like, so you have.
Do you know what I mean?
No, but is it like, what's the difference in Vermaelen's profile and Alderweireld's profile? It's the same thing. Guys blew early at Ajax.
Yeah.
Because they were.
Alderweireld is like.
No, level. I'm speaking like broadly. Like, it's the same. It's the same profile. Yeah. Like, it's actually the same profile. Like, even down to the Ajax thing, down to the Belgian thing. Yeah, it's the same.
Yeah, but and even the level that Belgium is playing in Belgium at this point.
Yes, I'm.
It's
like
what I'm saying.
Yeah, like, yeah.
Boris, like, France captain. Do you get me?
Bro, but why he's a goalkeeper. Like,
yeah, I'm actually a goalkeeper. But what I'm saying, like, guys like Doherty. Like, Doherty is from a team.
He didn't even play yesterday.
Okay. Oriere is a dunce. Like, sorry, I don't like calling people names, but Oriere is a problem. let's leave stuff. Like, there's guys like Harry Kane that drops deep. You know, he interacts with midfield. There's guys like Hoiberg that is, like, more or less... Like, that guy is naturally... He's not always been a leader. Like, when
he's talking about the guy.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? Like, and then he's kind of captain of Southampton. This guy is like... His whole game is game management. Do you know what I mean? More or less, that's why they bought him, so that, like, they won't be running forward and, like, you'll be.
But bro, there's still the other guys there. Sissoko. There's still, like, I like Sissoko, but Sissoko is not an he's a workhorse. He's not an intelligent player. So I think
that's what I'm saying. If you have five of those guys, I think you should be able to go around.
I mean, I don't. The thing is, Spurs fans will probably have, like, a more comprehensive take on this, but. Like,
because it's not even a Mourinho team as well. Why don't you just do your two blocks of four and end this thing? Like 3-0, like not make 3-0 Mourinho. But did he do his subs? As you know,
he did some subs.
He has those subs.
He took off Son.
He has his subs at 3-0. He did it last season and he fucked him up. Which game did he fuck him up last season when he did it? Do you remember why he did it last season?
Bro, you know what's funny? You know what's funny? Do you remember his first game was actually against West Ham? And it was something like this where they were winning.
They were winning
and West Ham, like...
I think that was 2 goals.
Okay. Yeah.
No, I think West Ham came back then they scored again or something.
I think that one maybe ended 3-2. Like, yeah, West Ham didn't see through. That. But they came close. Like, they gave them a scare.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. Like, so 1 year later, this thing is still happening. Like, do you get...
Oh yeah, definitely. It's something that I think, obviously, I guess it needs to be coached out.
Because it's kind of thing everybody would, yeah, I remember I was against West Ham. I remember that. And everybody would be like, yeah, but like, okay, Harry Wales' whole piece to set tempo and keep ball.
But he came out yesterday.
Do you get what I mean? So like, why is it happening? Do you get?
I mean, although in fairness, like the argument, if you watch the game on its thing, I'm not even sure that like a whole leadership thing. I don't think it, or an in-game management thing, because
it's a momentum.
It was bro. It was because it was like, let me. Okay, so the first goal, set piece, Cresswell takes a free kick. Balbuena heads it. It enters. Cool. That's fine. Wait, that's fine. The second goal was an own goal. So,
yeah, before you just got an own goal, like, you have to get in a position that is dangerous now.
No. That, so, I mean, if you're thinking about it, it's like, as a block, okay, it's a very, the game is just petering out. West Ham basically stabilized the game where they, in terms of, they weren't trying to concede.
West Ham are very good when they want to score. Like, to be fair, that's one thing that you have to give West Ham. When the ball just starts coming, like, West Ham are actually very, that's not a bad team when they need to score.
So, you have, like, so obviously, West Ham has stabilized the game. It's 3-0. Okay, we don't want to embarrass ourselves. Okay, we get one goal. It's kind of lucky. But what now happens is a little momentum shifts, a little needle shifts. So they brought on Yarmolenko. You know those there tippy tappy wingers. So the first thing is, okay, the ball comes. You release one guy on the wing. The guy crosses it, threatening from. He crosses it, like, obviously. I think they'd even taken Antonio off. So they didn't even really have, like.
Did they bring on Ale?
He wasn't on the bench. So, like, they'd taken Antonio off. And, like, it wasn't even really, like, they had, like, you know, a strong presence. But it's that thing of. And this is what I'm saying, it's self inflicted. So, you. This guy, Sanchez, tries to head it, heads it into his post. Those type of things happen. But obviously, the third.
What's wrong with that guy?
Who, Sanchez?
Like, his first season, he was probably one of the best. He could arguably be the best defender when he came.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the
But niggas know now that that's always how it goes. Anyway, I guess I really. Spurs, like, I mean, I really don't want to talk about this too much because I think this is a larger conversation and it's probably better to go maybe do some research or whatever. But moving on, still the one team with a 100% record in the league.
Villa.
Late one yesterday against
Leicester. Shout out to Barkley. I've been saying it for 6 years. In that age group, at me if you want. I think Ross Barkley is telling. Should they be mates now? They'll be mates. They're supposed to be mates.
I feel like Barkley is older, but I'll confirm.
Do get Barkley might be older actually, but in that class, I think Barkley natural talent. I think he's probably one of the best. If after Sterling in that
Barkley is 26. He turns 27 this year.
That's what Sterling will be now. Sterling will be like 25. But yeah, I'm just happy for Aston Villa. Like, amazing signings. And I always
Sterling
love
it. Sterling is Barkley has 1 year on Sterling.
And I love it
when both of them are actually born in December.
And I love it when guys show up, Brendan. You know, it's always fun.
I mean,
Castan Brendan.
The thing Brendan has.
Should I told you that West, like, Brendan has reached the limit with Leicester.
The thing that
you can sign for fun, I can sign all these FM guys. No, okay.
I mean, the thing with Brendan, I think, and what Brendan can needs to bridge that gap that he's trying
star
to.
Boys, like, true. Like, bro, leave all these team elements. Someone that is just too hard.
Trying to bridge that gap between, like, Leicester and, like, let's say, Everton.
At this point now, system is not. It's just.
The thing is, I definitely. Like, looking at them, they definitely need a better striker. Like.
Are you acting Young Nachi?
Yeah, I am acting Young Nachi.
But Young Nachi is always good when he plays for Leicester.
He's good, but like, bro, there's better. Do you understand?
Yeah, but he's not. He's not a pure striker. He's like a 10, like 9.5.
No. Yeah, I know. He reminds me, like, watching Kane. Like, I kind of see how Young Nachi, because now you know Kane has become like, now he's not just a. Before he was a pure striker.
Yeah, but he didn't even come up the youth system like that. He came up the way he's playing now.
Who, Kane?
Yeah.
Oh, fair enough. I mean, but
are
like,
you forgetting them old FMs? It's AMC /.
Bro, I never used to use Spurs in old FMs.
No, FMO8, remember?
08. Was Kane in 08?
Kane's a star boy in 08 now. You can groom
was
him.
Was he?
Yeah. you know, but...
That's news to me.
No, but like, Tottenham had four hard strikers. They had Darren Bent, they had Defoe.
Yeah, I remember Crouchy.
They had... Was it Crouch? Yeah, they had Crouch.
Pavlyuchenko.
No, Pavlyuchenko was in 09. Bro, oh wait, that Darren Bent, they had Defoe. They had Robbie Keane.
Yeah,
they're
yeah.
Bebatov.
Yeah. Bro, those are actually like 100. Those are all 100.
Bro, you know you can already play two now. In
but those are all 100 club guys.
Bro, you can already play two.
You play 4-4. You put.
No, you can play 4-4.
I know. I'm just saying.
Bro,
like
they had hard wingers as well, but they had Bentley, they had Lennon, that guy. They had was it Timmy Tanyo? They had Steve McBrock. That guy. Tottenham team know FMO.
Bro, I actually need to download like FMO.
FMO is a classic. Wait, I was 7.
Bro. You remember when we used to buy Aguero?
Bro.
You remember how you buy David Villa and you knew you were winning your league?
Bro, buy your David Villa and Aguero, you're alright.
Bro.
No, David Villa and David Silva.
No, David, because those guys were released cause guys.
Yeah,
yeah.
You can't forget the two of them.
Bro.
One that was 31.
Bro. The one I remember, like, I mean, like you might remember this game though, because you and I grew up playing FM together, but like, playing with, I remember I had one Portsmouth game where
Defoe and Crouch.
No. I bought Aguero.
I remember.
So I used to play the spider.
Yeah.
So I'll play.
You mean like Europa League or something like that?
Something like that, yeah. I'll play the spider, that 4-2-3-1.
Yeah,
where the guys in the three, you were basically giving them, asking them to cover the wings. So, bro.
Which is funny, yeah. Everybody brought that formation from this guy, Gasperini's Genoa in the game. Remember his
Genoa in the game?
When he had Rodrigo Palacio, one of the Brazilian guys.
Bro, I will play Aguero at number 10 or as the striker. I don't remember who my striker was, but I'll play John Utaka on the right as I'll play Utaka the attacker. Bro, it was so hard on that game. We will score your 17-20 goals. What a time. Anyway, what other Villa keep on looking solid. They have a very good defensive record. And now what they've done, I've said this thing on like multiple episodes, but that in terms of building on what they had, like they just built out like a new.
They were lucky staying prem, but they've consolidated.
They've consolidated very smartly, very cleverly. And I guess that brings us to, how do you solve a problem like Fat Frank?
This guy, like, chill on Lampard, like.
Okay.
Like, you know, Lampard,
I mean, my cousin,
Lampard is my favorite player.
My cousin Bola Tefe, one of my favorite people in the world, listens to this podcast. The other day he was.
I call him Bola Tefe. Really listen to the podcast anymore.
What do you say?
That guy will remember me from when he was small and he wears Gucci shoes.
No, he probably won't. But the thing is, like, so Bola Tefe listens to the podcast and like he texts me like all the time. He's like. He's a Chelsea fan. So he's always like, Maya, why did you say this about Chelsea? That you must, after the Liverpool game, he's like, you must destroy Liverpool, but we didn't record. He's like, you must destroy Liverpool. So I know he's going to listen to this and he's going to, so Timo Werner, like, the attack, it seems to finally have clicked a little bit.
The attack is always going to click.
Yeah.
I think a lot of the problems they're having is a lot of problems they had last season, though.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's very similar in terms of, like, I know he kept a couple clean sheets, but there was a time where he didn't.
No,
there was a long period where they couldn't keep a clean sheet.
Okay, so that's going to make me ask you one question.
But it's game management.
But the question is, do you trust Frank to sort out Chelsea's back?
Man, I looked at that game and I saw it coming, which is funny. You saw it coming at 2-0. They look comfortable, but you still saw Omo. If they just string like 5 passes together, they can get behind these guys.
Southampton did actually, they stretched them in terms of like, so when.
I mean, Walker didn't play well in first half, second half came.
Yeah, in second half was.
And I was like, why is Walker not stretching this guy? Why is he coming? Like, why? I hate that thing when guys do well, just your rant. But I hate when guys are playing for big clubs, so they think they can come into a smaller club and just like, you know, make it tick. Do you get what I mean?
I'm sure
it was the code that I told to play, but I'm basically like, Walker's to that guy. Walker just do what you're supposed to do.
Because
like,
the way Southampton basically played with a 4-4-2.
You know, it's a 4-4-2.
Yeah.
But like, he wasn't like.
Wide. No, but that's the thing. In a 4-4-2, that type of system, he has to cover more space in terms of protecting. No, he wasn't.
What he was doing at that moment was that he was trying to be a decoy, enter deep, and then when the right back gets the ball, he'll run.
Yeah.
And me, at that point, I don't
think. He's like, well, hug the touchline.
I would prefer him to hug it at that point. But I guess it worked eventually, so that's why I'm not Raf. But yeah, I mean, I look at the game and I was thinking when it was 3-2, I was like, because Chelsea couldn't even get a kick in. Nah, 3-2. It was just, you know, when the smaller team is just like having a lot of control and then they're just basically controlling the game. And Chelsea couldn't, like, so what you wanted Chelsea to do was to win the ball back. The only guy that
just seemed, close the game out.
The only guy that seemed that he wanted to do that was Kante, and that would be expected. I think in those kind of situations, Jorginho's lack of physicality shows. Do you get? Like, mm-hmm. when Jorginho is not on the ball, like, you see Kovacic is more like a physical presence, like 6'2", kind of covers more ground, like he's quicker along the ground anyway. In those situations, you saw that Jorginho's kind of shows. Then I guess the other thing with bringing on Hakim Ziyech at that moment, Ziyech is a hard-working player, but I guess for his debut was also a gamble, because I know what Lampard was trying to do. Was trying to close it in with kind of take out Pulisic and bring in Ziyech to kind of just retain the attacking threats. But it's very difficult to retain the attacking threats when the base of your midfield is struggling. Yeah. Do you understand what I mean? So yeah, that's, it's kind of wishful thinking.
It's just like for liking, you're not solving the problem.
Because no, but the thing about it is that at that point, you think that Ziyech will run more than Pulisic, because Ziyech is actually a very hard-working guy. But his debut, I think at that point I was brought on that kind of like number four, number six to kind of make it tight and just
close the game.
Yeah, off. And I think that was where the mistake was made in that game.
Okay, but I mean, I'm not going to rag on again another individual error between Zuma and Kepa. Like, I don't want to rag on that. Like, it's still, I just think Chelsea, like the way they're set up, I think the first thing is, if they don't even give you chances, I feel like they have it in them to self-destruct. Yeah, like, at the back.
The thing about it is, like, I get why he likes all his defenders, because they're all fantastic prospects. Zuma, Christensen, Tomori. I was watching Fulham's game, and the commentator was saying something like, I met his dad last week. His dad said he can't pronounce his name. His name is Aina. Not I know, like, just kind of white guy, but like, but anyway.
God, I hate the world. I actually hate the world.
But anyway, video video like four Niger guys, full out team, like, do you hear it? Like, but anyway, what was I saying? I'm a Chelsea. What am I talking about exactly?
Talking about Chelsea individual errors at the back.
Yeah. So that's the thing. All their centre backs are good centre backs, but I guess they need that system. Thiago Silva. Like, I don't even think I can trust any of the pairing without Thiago Silva, because Zuma has not developed in the way, Christensen has not developed in the way that they first came out. You know, when those guys first came out, different seasons.
Although that day I was watching Christensen play against England, I was dying to myself. He was happy. I rate him. It's like, fantastic. He's very good technical.
Like, he's unbelievable. Defender. And Zuma is just a beast. Like, and it's fantastic.
No, but I think Zuma is an example of what happens when Zuma, I think, because I think Zuma was one of those that, because when he was coming up, he was so big. Like, you know, like, think about when you're playing with guys who are just bigger than you.
No, but Zuma playing since 17.
Bro, he was always ahead of his peers, so because
he's like, I think he started because of that one season.
What, the injury?
He did do his ACL.
He did his ACL.
And
yeah.
then
he went to Everton on loan. Yeah, that was solid. Yeah, it was solid.
But when he came back to Chelsea, he's been, I think he's like, so all their defenders, other than Thiago Silva, lacking that leadership quality. And you can see why they brought in Thiago. So you can see why they brought in Thiago Silva to kind of sort it out, even though he's kind of made an error too since he's come in. But I think, like, just, you can't play any of that pair. Like, together, you can't play any of those three with each other without playing Thiago and having Kante kind of shield them. I don't think it works. Do you get? Because you still see errors. Which, I mean, the sample pool, Thiago Silva has not played enough games to, like, say, okay, when Thiago Silva plays, they're more solid. But I think just in theory, is what Frank would like to do.
I mean, just the idea of being reliant on I mean, I was ragging on you.
Yeah, like, but
for your team being reliant.
Yeah, but it's funny because Milano was button. I was like, guy, please, just, I love him, but let's not buy. Like, I can't understand.
Is that what we're like, bringing 2010 back?
Bro, we're bringing 2010 back because we saw these two guys in the same summer.
That was the last year you guys won the league. Now,
we didn't even win it that year. Are you mad? We lost it by once. Montari.
So, which year did you win it last? 2011.
We won it 2010, 2011.
Yeah. Yeah, that was Allegri's year.
Yeah, but we sold them the next year. Wasn't that year?
Oh, so you didn't win the league with them?
We won the league 1 year with them.
We
sold them like, after that second year.
Yeah.
But we should have won the league though, because we played Juve and there was a handball that they didn't give. Remember?
That was when you beat us on the champs.
Yeah. I mean, destroyed you. But yeah. But anyway, I think Thiago Silva is fine. Like, Thiago Silva doesn't rely on. He stopped relying on pace and like kind of physicality to do his job. I think it's just more mental defender. Like even when he was in Milan, he went 58 games to a yellow card too. Clearly, his physicality part of it is overstated. I mean, JT was still doing it for a while when he was 34. So, but yeah, I think paying any of that pay without Thiago is a problem. In theory.
Do you want to talk about Arsenal City? I really don't want to. But if you want to, I'm down to.
I enjoyed it though. Let me show you my conversation with Craig about it.
Don't kill me.
But like,
what did you enjoy about it? The tactical match.
Like, it's very rare
that you get that with Prem.
That's why you watch other leagues.
It's a very good time. I had a hard on for that. Like, but I also was.
It was like them showing off to the rest of the guys.
But I also was a bit irritated. Like. I mean,
you're on the Arsenal side, yeah, but the City side. I mean, even though, like, to be fair, though, City were solid, but Arsenal could have still nicked one or two things.
Okay, you know, I mean, now this is going to sound like a rant, but here it goes. That whole fucking nonsense with Willian as false nine and parking Aubameyang. Like, there were so many times in that game where Aubameyang was on the left, like, basically playing like a winger.
Aubameyang didn't want it, though, for some reason. He didn't walk out that day, like.
No, because but this guy was stationed on the left and he would get the ball and you could tell he was looking for who to cross it to.
Yeah.
But bro, there's no fucking body for him to cross it to. So like, why the fuck is Willian like that whole like bro
decoy
now? Fuck that nonsense. Decoy. So that's the first thing. Then the other thing I didn't like, and I mean I've been consistent in saying this thing. Arsenal do not create chances under this coach. And that for me is a red flag.
Yeah, it's very pragmatic. It's turned out to be very pragmatic.
But that's a very big red flag because what you end up getting, like there was a stats. I don't remember the stats, but maybe they're like, yo, Aubameyang has taken 5 shots this season or something ridiculous. Like I need to find it. Do you understand?
Yeah.
But basically, when your striker, you guys are not is like his numbers are down like that. It's kind of like, oh, yo,
it's not enough chances been created.
Yes, it's fucking worrying. And then the other thing was. Looking at that game, the real bright spark for Arsenal was Saka. And what you kind of wanted was, or the theory is, you should try and get your best players centrally. Do you understand? Because they can feed off each other. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, but City carried that center. And he anticipated that.
Bro, like...
He wouldn't have had anything.
Bro, like, that whole thing... I mean, I was just... I don't give a fuck about that shit, bro. I was just fucking irritated watching that game.
He anticipated that and they now cut out the other line from the left wing where it was going to come by playing Kawaka inside right. I guess that kind of nullified the game, but that's not so bad. It was a very good tactical game.
Yeah, definitely. I'm not like that, I think, goes without saying, but I still think I've done more. Yes, I still want to see more. I still think we can do better. And this is not just about this game. This is like because at the end of the day, Arsenal at City away is a guaranteed 3 points for City.
Yeah, but at least putting.
But like
attacking. But I guess.
But no, this game. Is not even. It's not even.
It's I'm not.
Not
it's the point. Like funny.
The,
like
the point. The point. Like, the point. I'm trying. I'm not even talking about like. So this is not just this game. I'm also referring to like the Sheffield game. Do you understand? Like just a lot of games that we should kill. Like we should. The only game we've killed this season is because we're basically playing a glorified Championship team in Fulham. Willian came in, that one was popped 2 assists. Everyone's like, oh, yo, Willian. And now he's not done anything since then, very inconsistent, which is kind of how he was at Chelsea. It was good sometimes. Sometimes you're just like, yo, I'll punch this guy if I catch him. And it's becoming that because, like, obviously, you're seeing a lot of people like, yo, William, what's going on? Like, we need to have a conversation about this. And I guess I just want more. Like, I just.
Yeah, but if he's to play that role, then, so what he doesn't want the sense that Aubameyang is like stabbed up the ball in the center. And maybe he feels that he can create an outlet when Arsenal are breaking free from Aubameyang. But that outlet was nullified because he has always used that kind of switch to that left wing in the other games. And I get Pep was like, this guy's not catching me up to this nonsense again.
Yeah.
So fair enough, that battle, you can't blame Aubameyang for losing that battle, but I get, to be fair, Aubameyang didn't look like he wanted it, actually. Kawoka is fast, but you can beat Kawoka.
I mean, definitely. Skill. But I just think like what it was the team had limitations.
Yeah, definitely.
And that just, you know, the way it is sometimes, it's also a confidence thing.
Yeah.
Because sometimes when you're confident, you can do more.
Yeah.
You can like take on opportunities. So now you think of someone like Aubameyang towards the end of last season in those like that Chelsea game, in that City game. That was a bit of confidence, but also the team was, you know, like tactical
synergy kind of
issues. Yeah, like, but obviously it's not there because even though Arteta has kind of figured out his setup, he's still fiddled around. It cannot work long term.
Arsenal fans are going to demand better football at some point.
It started already.
Do you get what I mean? Like, Arsenal fans are used to losing, so don't come and play that and still lose. Do you get what I mean? Like,
yo, that's the title of this podcast. Right there, Arsenal fans are used to losing, and it's me that's actually doing it. So you guys can't say I'm biased or anything.
Like, so but I enjoyed the game. It was good. It was like a Champions League quarter.
You know what it reminded me of? There was a game, and it's funny. I think you and I watched this game together, and we said this at the time when that season. I think Mourinho came second.
Yeah.
With United.
Yeah.
There was a game City United played. I don't remember where it was at. I think it was at City Stadium. I think City won 2-1 or something like that.
I mean, the first season, the first goal was, the first one was Old Trafford, first game was Old Trafford, De Bruyne and Iheanacho.
No, this one wasn't 1-1.
No, De Bruyne.
Yeah, I think one of them, but like, bro, like the quality of that game. Yeah. I remember you and I watching it and basically just being like, yo, that was a fucking good
game. Yeah.
Like, you could tell, like, bro, you know, like, now, because now there's a bit, like, you would not say Mourinho and Pep are the best managers in the league.
No, yeah,
but then, you could reasonably say that they were the best managers in the league. Speaking and of, that game actually proved it.
Yeah, speaking of it, there was the best game I watched in 10 years in Prem.
In what?
What's the best game I watched in 10 years in Prem? Let me see if you watched it. I think this
best game.
Everybody,
this one. What, Chelsea City?
Yeah, that Liverpool City, that 2-1. That
the Gerrard one?
Liverpool City 2-1. The one Firmino, the one the John Stones of the line. City won the league. The one they used to come back.
Yeah.
That was it, like 2 seasons ago.
Yeah.
In January, do you remember that game?
The thing is, I don't remember it's a quality.
The one
I actually remember. And I actually fucking that Chelsea City one, that Conte one.
That was a domination. That was Pep arriving. That
William and Hazard goal.
That first.
I've not seen it. Like, that was a.
Oh no! Yeah, we're talking about different games. You're talking about the one Chelsea won 3-1.
Yes, I'm talking about the one Chelsea.
About the reverse fixture, like beginning of the season, the one that you were like, "There's no way these guys are winning title."
Who, Chelsea or City?
Like when they went to guy that you messaged me after that, you were like, "Bro, that's probably the worst domination of any big team I've seen in England." I think you remember the one where De Bruyne scored with his left foot from like so far, like it's like their sixth game of the season, the first title they won.
I had to get a look.
Oh no, bro, that was like Pep balling.
I had to get a look for it.
Like, that was like the.
But no, bro, that 3-1, that Conte one.
It was an amazing game.
That was a fucking amazing game.
Low-key smash and grab, shot.
No, it was a smash and grab. Not low-key, it was high-key smash and grab. But amazing. You know, bro, those are the games that make those are the games that make you miss, like, outside being open.
Yeah.
Bro, watch amazing, that game amazing. With fans in the stadium. Amazing. Oh, Lord.
Yeah, that was a fantastic game. That's fine. To be fair, Conte is a beast. I mean, let's see though.
I'm thinking, which other, in terms of pure energy,
No, bro.
Bro, in terms of pure energy, as an Arsenal fan, in terms of pure energy, even though the energy turned out to be for absolutely nothing.
What, Xavi?
No. That Leicester season, the Arsenal-Leicester game.
Amazing game.
That was another amazing game. That was on Valentine's
Day. Bro, Kante killed that match.
Bro, from Kante's performance to...
That's best performance by midfield I've seen.
Bro, from Kante's performance... Because, bro, I actually
had to... One man down. I was like, what is wrong with this guy? What is wrong with this guy?
But for me, that also was... Also,
Welbeck is going to win that.
Yeah, that was Valentine's Day. I remember, bro, I watched that game with you.
Yeah, I was wondering why I watched that game.
Valentine's Day. It was on a Sunday.
Guy, was that single?
Definitely single, bro.
Yeah, are you sure?
Yeah.
What year?
2016, I think. Oh, because it was a year. That day was a day. It's funny because I actually, like, just to show you how much I remember that day. Life of Pablo, the Kanye West album. No, it was here.
Oh, fair enough.
Life of Pablo, Kanye West album came out that day too. Like, I remember just feeling on top of the world. Like, then even just the Welbeck goal, because Welbeck had been injured for like a year. First game back, scores from a header. Like, just you're just like, yo, we're gonna win the title.
To be fair, nah. I was hoping that's not winning.
But yeah, that and even that.
Another also, amazing game I went to Leicester, Man City, Etihad 3-1, Robert Hood double.
Yeah. But even that game I'm talking about, one of the reasons why I like that Arsenal Leicester game was just because the technique, like, you know that thing that guys do when you're playing a team where it's like, yo, we're not going to drop, we're not going to lose the faith, we're going to keep passing this ball and we're going to beat you guys, even if it's at the end. But we're going to, like, bro, I remember at a point, like, you know, when, like, Vardy was doing that whole, like, Vardy thing of, like, yo, pressing the defenders. But, bro, it was just the type of thing where it's like, okay, you know what? Because you're going to keep passing this ball. So the first thing was, I think Theo scored a very fortuitous goal. And then it's just like, okay, cool, it's back. And then the free kick comes. Like, it's just those games, like, where, like, I mean, maybe because obviously me, I like teams that take control.
Mm-hmm.
So where it's like, you know, you take control and you don't let yourself get smashed and grabbed. Like,
it's what I'm saying about that.
Yeah, like you.
It was 2-0, I remember.
You're just like, okay, you know what? We're here to dominate. And guess what we're going to do? We're going to fucking be the alpha male in this situation. We're going to fucking dominate.
Speaking of dominating, actually, segue. Did you see Lazio Atlanta this weekend?
No, but I watch it. Because I plan, like, again, because I have this service on my phone that allows me to stream stuff live and it has all the highlights.
Fair enough.
So before, normally what I would do is I would go on YouTube and just
watch the game.
No, I watch all, like, I mean, I watch all the extended highlights. Like, I saw it.
Atlanta had scored like 4 goals in every game this season. And then Napoli obviously have 100% record in theory, but I mean,
they don't kill me. But they got.
That's what I'm saying. Like, yeah. don't. But okay, so they have on the pitch, but they don't, because obviously they didn't fucking show
up for the Juve game.
Juve, and then obviously it's the kind of thing where Atlanta got whacked 4-0 in the first half. like Osimhen is just a beautiful.
Oh, bro, player. I want the highlights from that. Yeah, I was watching the goals. Yeah, I saw the goals.
Up, obviously, my guy. Bro! Once he scored, my guy running.
Bro! Harry Lozano!
Bro!
Let's have a conversation about that.
Yeah, it was amazing.
Yo!
It was one of the best games this weekend.
You know, it's fucked. Why? Because I remember when that guy. When Chucky first came on the scene and he was being tipped as like the PSV, new Alexis Sanchez. PSV, yeah. I remember
there was the thing where they said that Man City bought him and then they loaned him, but it ended up not being true. Right?
Yeah. I remember because at the time, like, again, this is one of those things where if you're nerdy about this thing like me, you follow a lot of all these stats guys who are going to tell you, like,
he's from America, actually. He's from
Mexico.
Yeah, America.
Yeah, I think so. So, like, I remember. Because at the time, when it was at PSV, like, basically, the stats guys were saying...
Yeah, they were always saying, this is the guy.
This is the guy that's
they always said it.
They is like, yo...
But he moved for big money, though.
Yeah. Like, if there's any... But I think he had... Didn't he have a bad injury?
Last season? No, he just...
Not last season, but I feel like he kind of went down because he had a bad injury or something. Something went wrong.
I don't know if he PSV, but... I know that he was, like... linked to a lot of big clubs,
and then he just thinks.
No, yeah. Even from Naples, I mean, like.
No, it is a big club, but like for what he was being.
No, bro. It's just like last season, a guy like Napoli have always Napoli have signed a lot of Higuain. They almost signed James last season, also.
Yeah.
If Ancelotti stayed, like Napoli have been signing a lot of top guys. I mean, they just signed Osimhen that most of Europe wanted. So I mean, they must sign that your defender as well, Gabriel as well.
Yeah.
Napoli. So I mean, Napoli have been signing a lot of top players, but yeah, it was amazing. Like just the press, the structure.
It's funny. What day was that game? Was it on Friday or Saturday?
It was on Saturday. But
the thing is, because I remember that was the first, like, I watched those highlights like mad early. So I actually, before we had this conversation, like, bro, I did not even remember that game. But when you now said it now, and I remember I watched it, and I'm like, oh, it felt like it was like 2 weeks ago.
No, because it was early, not Serie A usually later, but now they have tied in the early ones now, the early kickoff. But it was the thing, like, you know, Napoli.
No, but yo, I just want to shout DSTV out for like
showing the answers.
For like, no, not fucking answers, but just for catering to like needs, basically. Like, can watch La Liga, can watch Serie A, can watch Prem.
Yeah,
like,
I'm just happy they got. And bro, I'm happy they got Serie A back. I don't have to
ban. And I have to, I can stream this shit on my phone, bro. Like, I did not all these games I was talking about with you. I'm watching it in bed.
My guy, see, Netflix is coming, so you have to be like, you have to create options.
Do you guys, yeah.
You want, bro, Netflix to come and be like, and what's Prime on your phone? And guy's like, ah, yeah.
Which game was it? I was somewhere.
I mean, Amazon Prime already fucking do it anyway.
Yeah, but no, this is like every day, every game.
Yeah.
Like, so weekends.
No, it's what I'm saying. Like, so they have to step up.
Yeah. Like weekends.
You know, I told you that just if you want to take Netflix to South Africa.
Yeah. But it's funny now, they have a deal together. Bro, we're enemies, but we're friends.
I still take them to God, we have a deal now.
Yeah. But like, as bad as they, there's actually like, they're in bed together. Like, they have a partnership. Anyway, I guess this is a point which we bid each other farewell.
I mean, we gotta shout out to the La Liga's top two for being shite.
Yeah, fuck La Liga.
Like, I mean,
you guys are about to make
man. Like, Real are fine, actually. Look, like, Real.
No, Barca
are the ones. If you're distant, bro, 350 and from Goldman Sachs and pay salaries or something.
Don't kill me,
bro. I'm not fucking with you, man.
The way you said it, you're saying it like the way they said, like, as well. You know, like when your grandma's or your mom is like, they said that.
No, no, because it's rumors. That's not if it's confirmed. I won't confirm it now because they know they're building a new stadium and building a new complex. So one guy with the old, bro, like,
you know the thing. I actually, Barca are the one set of people in football I don't feel sorry for. Everything that happens, I just laugh. Like, yo. If anybody deserves, you know.
Yeah, but like, you understand, but like, because you hate the guys there doesn't mean you hate the institution. Like, Barca has given me so much.
Shout out to the generator, like, that just got turned on.
Shout out to my German. Oh, yeah. That's efficient.
Because the fans are going to hear it and they're going to wonder what that was. But yeah, in Africa, we have this thing called light, and then, you know, sometimes they take it. Yeah, and then, yeah, sometimes they.
Yeah, man, so like. I mean, I watch Atletico ball first, but yeah, Simeone.
The other thing, I mean, obviously, I guess you really can't talk about anything these days without talking about what's just, you know, just what's going on in Nigeria. Like, we were at the protest together last week. We had a good time. Protesting against our oppressors, and we're not stopping.
Yeah.
So we'll be there again this week.
Shout out to Simeone as well. That's why Brian Napoli, you know. Even though my man is living that big life, you know, he still remembers the boys on the streets and that. So yeah, but top nine though. By the way, that's another conversation.
What?
I mean, like, it's funny. This man, our guy, is not even going to talk about Super Eagles. But let's just leave it there.
No, we'll talk about it. We will talk about the Super Eagles. The thing is, international break has come and gone, so it just feels like very still. Super Eagles are depressing. Bro, the thing, I can't lie to you, I don't watch Eagles outside of... Like, there was a day I was somewhere and the Eagles were on TV. I was like, wait. I mean, I know it's international break. I was like, wait, we're playing?
I don't support
the
Super Eagles. Not by force.
It was Super Eagles. I didn't used to support
them. Like, I support them, like, if I see them on TV, but I don't, like...
But, bro, no, Super Eagles gave me one of the best moments in uni.
That Nations Cup win.
Because
I have a lot of annoying, like, African...
Conference.
Like, so, like, I fully was down for that one, like...
In that one, I can't even lie to you, I wasn't even watching
it. But I was sure we're going to win.
I wasn't following it. And then I remember, like, I'll be in the library. And then maybe one of my Ghanaian guys or, like, just some guy from some other.
Yeah, you met Kip.
Yeah. Kip's some guy from some other like African country will just come and be like, "Oh, yo, you Eagles are playing. You're not playing well. You guys are shit." And they're like, "Okay, cool story, bro." And I mean, I think I started watching it either in the quarters or the semis, and it's like, "Oh, yo, what's popping?" And then we win, and then all those niggas that were making noise had to shut up.
That bouncy guy.
That guy came second to Mikel that year now. Bro, with that hair? Jesus. Bro, African football is beautiful. When you think, like, how can you think of bouncy and all that and not think like that is beautiful?
But
that is
fucking beautiful. Shout out to Algeria and France. I don't know, man, who is shitting at those players.
Chill now. Anyway. Guys, it's been fun. We're gonna probably do an episode. Are we gonna do a post champs episode, or are we just gonna wait till before the weekend's games?
I mean, what's up? I mean, Champions League is not really exciting this week, to be fair. So, but yeah, we can do. I mean, there's Man U PSG, and that's kind of.
Man U PSG.
They might beat 5-5 tomorrow, though.
Bro, Man U PSG is a like.
See, I was watching Newcastle. And then, like, I was watching with Shogbe and Ife, obviously, Man U fans. And then, when we saw Sam Maximan, was just. Shogbe was like, I got my pay Neymar this week. Look at what this guy is doing to them.
Neymar and Mbappe.
Bro.
But, bro, you know, it's funny because, like, on one of the podcasts, one of my favorite football podcasts, Total Football Show, during lockdown, they were doing this thing, like, flip and reverse it, where they were, like, imagining things if certain things did not happen.
Imagine social security in case PSG.
Like, so you think about, like.
Yeah, that game gave me a lot of credit in the bank.
Yeah, like, that's basically the reason they gave him the job. And obviously, yeah, like.
But you know one thing? You know this run? You see it, it looks hard. But, like, this bastard is going to win all these matches.
No, but Solskjaer, like, the one thing he's good at United with, and I've said this before, but, like, he gets United to. They're very good in the big games.
Yeah, but Newcastle's in big games.
No. I'm just speaking like them. Like United are very good in the big games, and then I think that's a very bad thing for like any manager who is managing like a top six side, because it's just like
you can actually get by losing the top games. And then
those, yes, those yeah, bro, we know guys that won the leagues like that now. Like, yeah, no, we're not going to beat any top 14. But we're in the league. Because, I mean, if you even think of Fergie now. Like, bro, Fergie could easily give those Chelsea-Liverpool games. He could free it for them.
I mean, but he needs to have that time, bro.
Yeah. But then, he just beat. He know Fergie would do the math. Fergie would tell that you need to beat the 15 teams in the league. Try and beat them home anyway. If you can do it. You win your league. You don't. It doesn't matter what you do against Arsenal, Liverpool, Chelsea, Man City. Fuck all that shit. You can lose both all of them. You still do what you need to do. Anyway, it's been fun. This was a fucking long episode, but I love it. I don't know. I can't tell yet. It's probably the longest we've done in a while. But I love it. It's good. It means we're having fun, and obviously you can tell we've not actually spoken about football like this in 10 days. Fuck the fucking international break.
Actually,
fuck that. I like international. No, bro.
When is like your competition?
Yeah. Oh, I even thought you were going to say you like international for your gambling habits.
Oh, yeah. I mean, technically, my laptop is open now. I'm looking at I have a nice 15 to 1 for tomorrow. You get what I mean?
Bro, you know what's funny? I went to Tito's house on Saturday and I was like, oh, I'm going to watch football. He now said, who's playing? I said, Liverpool, Everton. He said, what's the score? I said, 1-1. 19th minute. He said, both teams to score already.
To be fair though.
Bro, I died. I was just like, yo. Niggas are gambling, they think about football differently.
To be fair, both teams to score have about 2.5 for sure for that one.
Yeah. Anyway, it's been fun, guys. Thank you for, you know, listening, for all the things you guys do. And hopefully catch you in a couple of days. Mm-hmm.
For listening to this podcast, a new episode will be available next week. To get the podcast first, kindly subscribe on SoundCloud, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts. This podcast is part of the Culture Custodian Podcast Network.